Hello, welcome to Middle East Today from Beirut. I'm Zainab Safar. The formation of the Lebanese upcoming government is still pending because of the number of those who are interfering from abroad in the delivery of this government. How would the prospective government see the light? Who would deliver it? The King of Saudi Arabia, President Mubarak, U.S. General David Petraeus, French Foreign Minister Kouchner, or Netanyahu? The Saudi-Syrian rapprochement, how will it affect the formation of the new government? What would the opposition quota be, and what do they exactly want? A blocking one-third, a one-third guarantee, proportional representation, or what the others would offer? How would the country be run in the coming era, and would certain alliances change? And what would the priorities of this government be? Saad al-Hariri, Prime Minister designate, and the formation of the prospective Lebanese government will be highlighted in this segment of Middle East Today with our guest, with us here in the studio in Beirut, former Minister Dr. Karam Karam, and joining us via the video link from the House of the Falange Party in Beirut, Vice President of the Falange Party, Dr. Salim Assaigh. Dear guests, welcome to Middle East Today. Allow me to start with you, Dr. Assaigh. Now, recently we heard a lot the slogan, Lebanon first, and actually there is a bloc which held the same title. Now, if it's so, then how do you explain all these interferences?
Interferences, you mean within the March 14 or within
interferences from abroad, the international interferences?
Okay, I would like to say that the situation in Lebanon has called for political detente in the area between the Saudis, the Syrians, and between the Syrians and the Americans. A lot of interactions are happening there. And the main issue, apparently, is to separate the Lebanese file from all the other files. And this is why we consider, since the Lebanese file is now has its own merit, and it is not necessarily linked to all the other files, we consider that this appeasement or this detente between the different involved countries is a good sign for the formation of unity government in this country.
But do you really think that Lebanon as a file could be looked at as a file and which is separated from the other files in the region?
Apparently, now this is the has been so far the main issues on the agenda between Saudis and Syrians, between Syrians and French and Americans. The Lebanon issue has so far gained its own momentum. There is an international and regional need to stabilize Lebanon. And we know that interferences will remain because some movements in Lebanon are very much linked to the foreign powers. Mm-hmm. But still, we call
the balance of powers.
Yes, there is a balance of power, and Lebanon should profit from this balance of power to seize its opportunity and try to create an internal momentum in favor of stability and peace.
Right. Allow me to move on to Dr. Karam. Do you really think that Lebanon, as a file of its own, can be separated from the other files in the region?
No, not
I mean, I mean, how can we explain, you know, MP Hariri's visits to Cairo, to Riyadh, before, prior to his nomination?
These are signs also that we cannot separate the situation in Lebanon from situation in the Middle East and situation in the world. What has happened recently and what has affected the policy of the regional countries towards Lebanon and the world towards Lebanon is the change that happened in the United States of America. We are in an era of globalization. The USA sets the pace for many policies around the world. Mm-hmm. The change that happened in the American administration lately. And it's mainly in terms of strategy from confrontation to dialogue has eased the tensions not only in the Middle East, but all around the world. Now, Lebanon, to me, And apparently it has been like this, not only for Lebanon, but for the rest of the Middle East, is not a priority. The priority for the United States of America, for the West, and many other regional powers is Israel. And the relationship between...
But maybe, you know, Dr. Sayegh does not agree with this issue pertaining to Israel, because as we heard recently, sir, that, sorry for interrupting you, but the issue of Israel is still a bit enigmatic to certain sides in Lebanon, because they call for peace and not just an armistice with Israel. That was voiced out by MP Sami Jmayel.
Yeah, I'm not saying
yes.
Lebanon is not important. Lebanon is important, but it's not a priority.
Excuse me, sir, we haven't heard you, but we'll get back to you on this issue. But
Lebanon, neither to the USA nor to many other Western powers, Lebanon is the priority. Mm-hmm. The priority, especially for the United States of America, the priority is Israel and the oil that we do have in the Middle East. Now, Lebanon is important as much as it affects the security of Israel or the flow of oil to the Western countries. That's why they're interested now in having a peaceful Lebanon. They're interested also in helping forming a cabinet in Lebanon. This, and we see that evidently in the rapprochement that's happening between Saudi Arabia and Syria, and the dialogue that's happening between Saudi Arabia and Syria, and possibly later on between Egypt and Syria.
Yeah, we'll get back to this rapprochement between among certain Arab states. But Dr. Sayegh, do you have anything to say concerning?
Of course. First of all, I think that the United States foreign policy did not fundamentally change. Since 40 or 50 years, I have been hearing that the two main issues for the United States foreign policies are the security of oil and the security of Israel. And this remains a top priority to the United States. Now, the tactical approaches from Washington might change. Now there is a multiple engagement policy initiated by Washington, so they will be talking to everybody. It doesn't mean that the agenda has changed. And this is what is, for us in Lebanon, is considered to be to remain, that Lebanon is really separate on the agenda, and it will be not a subject matter of concession whatsoever. Now let me explain our point of view when it comes to peace. We consider now that we are governed with an armistice agreement with Israel. It means that there is no hostilities
1949
across
agreement.
The border with Israel.
Yes.
So now when it comes to Mitchell Initiative and the American foreign policy, when it's engaging the whole Middle East in a peace initiative with Israel, this is something that goes beyond Lebanon, and we have always said that Lebanon will not relax, will not find a peace and permanent stability unless the Palestinian cause is settled and unless there is a permanent peace in this area. It doesn't mean that
sir,
we are calling now to initiate negotiation with Israel over peace.
Dr. Sayegh, do you think that in light of Netanyahu's ultra-extremism and not willing to give any concessions, not just to Lebanon, but also to the Palestinians and the Syrians, would peace be viable in this sense?
This is a question to be asked to the powers that have initiated negotiations with Israel, i.e. Syria and the Palestinians.
Yes.
This is not a question to be
allow
asked
me,
to the
allow
Lebanese
me to go, to go back to the subject of the formation of the forthcoming Lebanese government. Do you think that's going to be of a one color?
We think that a better government in Lebanon should take into consideration all the colors in this country.
So you go for now, a national unity government?
Of course.
Now, I have to ask you, Dr. Karam, now we heard different voices, particularly from the opposition powers. They talked about one-third guarantee and a blocking one-third and proportional representation. And Hezbollah said, well, we'll be waiting for what they are going to offer us. A bit of, you know, they're not stable in their demands.
That's true. These are negotiations that take place and conditions that every party puts before forming the cabinet. But there is one thing that we all This is because of the formation of different political parties in Lebanon, and that those political parties actually represent different religious factions in Lebanon. And that's why we cannot have but a national unity government. Now, the representation in that government, before that government, that cabinet is formed, you know, each group is entitled to put its conditions. But I think what most people agree upon now, that we just came out of national elections that was run relatively well, especially comparing Lebanon to other countries in the region, in spite of all the deficiencies of whether it is with the electoral law or with the procedure itself, yet we came out of a government, quote-unquote, quasi-democratic elections, and we're going to form a government that
You know, the president talked also about the national unity government.
Yes, of course. This is for the sake of Lebanon, for the sake of the fact that the Lebanese also are tired of all that struggle.
Yes, sir. But is it going to be like, as the Change and Reform parliamentary bloc said, that they are looking for proportional representation? How viable is this?
Proportional representation in terms of having a majority and, if you wish, a minority, although no, there are also question marks about majorities and minorities. But in Lebanon, we cannot apply the same principles that are applied in other democratic countries in the world, that if there's a majority that wins the election, then the majority will govern and the minority will be in the opposition. Here it's different,
but in Lebanon, it's different.
Because of the different confessions we have, because we
consensual
most of the time,
democracy.
Actually, but if, let me put it bluntly, we don't have political parties. What we do have is that we have different religious factions that give themselves certain names, different names for parties, but they actually are representing different confessions or religious factions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you wish to have all those factions live in peace together and in unity, you have to have good representation of all.
In the government. Now, literally speaking, Dr. Sayer, would there be a blocking one-third for the opposition in a straightforward manner, or would it be like through a consignment, president consignment, let's say?
I think the what has characterized our democratic system is, on the one hand, the need to be all-inclusive to the different communities in Lebanon, and on the other hand is to allow the general principles of democracy to be implemented, which means that there should be a majority and a minority. This is our constitution, actually, that was negotiated between the different parties and that is now implemented in Lebanon. So the normal, if I can say so, the normal rule in Lebanon is to have a majority government. But as we think that today we might be facing exceptional situation, and regardless of the norms of the Constitution, we can and we look to have a national unity government. Well, the majority will have the upper hand when it comes to the efficiency of the working of the government, and where the minority will be as well represented with a main guarantor to both parties, which will be a part to reserve to the President of the Republic, who will be playing then the role of the arbiter. So the balance between majority and the minority will be preserved.
Mm-hmm.
This is our point of view that was communicated to the Prime Minister designated.
But how far would this be applicable? And how soon would it be applicable?
Actually, we have won the election on the basis that we will not be granting the veto power to the minority, because this will be actually a cancellation of the election process. People have elected one list over another on the basis of a clear project.
But, sir, it seems that there is a problem. There is a lack of trust between you and the others. And, you know, they don't want to be in the opposition outside of the government. They wish to take part in a national unity government. So what's the problem
yes,
in giving
definitely.
Them...
This is why, which this is unique in the world. You never see a minority asking to be part of a government. The minority, if it wants to be a part of a government, then so be it, but then it will not have the power, it should not have the power to veto, the power of the, or the efficiency of the government. When we are calling to form this government, we do not want to change the constitution. The government could not be a mini parliament. Mm-hmm. The elections were made to produce a majority. So
right.
We have to respect the rights of the majority the same mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. We would like to respect the concerns of the minority.
Right.
And we think that the main, the guarantor, the rear guarantor, is, are not the political parties. The guarantor to everybody is the well-functioning of the state institution, the constitutional institutions. And this is why we consider that the confidence-building process should be done by, on the basis of a step-by-step approach. And we know that nobody in Lebanon can impose on the other party major decisions. So,
right, sir. That's why. Why don't you want to offer the veto power? I want to shift the question now to Dr. Karam. I want you to tell us something about the veto power that the recent government, the minority, they took the veto power. How far was it effective? I mean, concerning the issue of the budget, nothing was paid.
Unfortunately. Well, the problem is that in Lebanon, in spite of the democracy that we claim we do have, but there are controversies here, is that in one way we say that there is a majority that won the elections, irrespective of what you say about the electoral law and the way the elections were conducted, but they won the elections. And at the same time, in the Constitution, you say that in order to preserve the principles of living together, that all factions of the Lebanese community should be represented. Mm-hmm. Now, knowing that, the parties that we have represent the different religious factions. This means that if you put a certain party in the minority, which means you're putting that religious faction in the minority, mm-hmm. and you do not represent that faction in the cabinet, that cabinet, that government, would not be a government that represents the principle of living together. Mm-hmm. And this is the dilemma. And the
yes.
cabinets that we do have, we don't have cabinets where you appoint ministers according to their merits. You appoint ministers, so many ministers
according
for that faction, so many ministers for the other faction, 6, 4, 3, whatever it is.
It's
a special type of democracy. Now, I do agree that at times you need to have also the work of the government being implemented. And that's why you need to have also that cabinet mm-hmm. possessing the power to go on, whether it is with the budget or with other things. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, because we do have some other more important issues, mm-hmm. issues pertaining to the national unity, that our national unity is very important. The budget is very important. But the national unity is more important than the budget, so then you put priorities for that.
Right.
But in normal days, all of these are important issues, and the budget should be able to also to be processed through a government with the agreement of all.
Right. But we heard some news about, the March 8th powers and the March 14th powers. They're going to, the alliances are going to change, are going to be modified and altered. How far is that true?
It could happen,
It could happen through a centrist bloc, as was insinuated, of Birri and Jumblat.
It could happen. What we do have now a consensus about the President of the Republic. Mm-hmm. And he was elected also by consensus. And that's why if you do give the President of the Republic a certain power in terms of the number of ministers, cabinet ministers representing the President, then the President would be able to maintain that equilibrium so that not one party will be able to use the veto power on its own and to block the action of the government.
Yes. Dr. Saïr, what's your take on that?
We think that the political game in Lebanon should be completely opened. Of course, when we talk about fundamental issues, such as the weapons of Hezbollah, such as the issues related to the peace and war, these are fundamental issues, and we think that the
but
country
but those are to be resolved be on the national
split.
Table of dialogue.
Yes, this is the national dialogue, but we do not know yet how this will take place, and we are not sure yet. We have no encouraging experience so far about the national dialogue. But I will tell you something, is that as far as we have these issues splitting the Lebanese, therefore in the parliament there will these two blocks will remain, whereas on all the other issues that are of less importance, I think that the different blocks will be getting together according to the issue put on the agenda mm-hmm. of the parliament or the issue put on the agenda of the government. If we say, for example, we are going to discuss the citizenship law, I think it will be a cross block. That will go beyond March 8 and March 14. If we are going to speak about decentralization, I think again that the opposition will not be along March 8 and March 14.
You made that point clear, sir. I want to ask quickly and briefly, if I may ask, Dr. Karam, are we going to see Prime Minister designate Hariri soon in Damascus?
I would say that we cannot stay as the political situation has put us in a position where we're enemies with Syria. We have to be in good relations with Syria. And we cannot be in good relations with Syria without having officials of the government in both Lebanon and Syria visit each other and collaborate with each other for issues
pertaining
to that.
But they talked about Hariri's visiting Damascus even before the formation of the government. How far would that be viable?
To put it in practical terms, I think that Saudi Arabia has a lot to do with it. Yeah. And that the Saudis also have a lot of power to implement and influence a certain political party in Lebanon.
Let's wait and see.
If they wish it to happen, it will happen.
It will happen. Let's wait and see. I'm afraid time is up, and I have to thank you, dear guest, former Minister Dr. Karam Karam, and Vice President of the Falanj Party, Dr. Salim Asayid.
Okay.
Many thanks indeed for joining us. And I have to remind you that after the break with the news brief, we'll be back with another segment on Middle East Today. And the subject that we'll tackle is the U.S. forces withdrawal from Iraqi cities, the implications and the repercussions. Stay tuned.